Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Did you have any doubts before putting the Ravens as the number one offense?
I did for a little bit, just because offensive line, relative to my number two team, like, it's a little bit of a doubt. But the offensive line played well last year, and when it didn't play well, Lamar was just such a preposterous pressure eraser, both in terms of extending the play for like a quarter of a second just to get that throw off, or doing the Lamar thing, having the time to throw like 3.5 seconds and just scrambling and creating and so on and so forth. Since 2010, this offensive season for the Ravens was the 14th best by EPA per play, the 6th best by EPA per dropback. So the last 15 seasons, like, this wasn't just like, oh, Ravens are the best offense. Ravens were like a historically good dropback offense. An unbelievable season for Lamar Jackson. It was an unbelievable season for Todd Monken. And I think a big part of that passing down success is obviously what you get from Derrick Henry as well.
Mina Kimes and Benjamin Solak on the Mina Kimes Show talking about the best offense. They're predicting the best offense in the NFL this year. They predicted Baltimore. Ravens just added Jair Alexander. Good morning. Happy no-goal anniversary, which means on the afternoon show, you get to hear how it's also Bulldog's wedding anniversary.
Right, right.
Ever been to a wedding with a sporting event?
No, because, well, with a sporting event, sure. I mean, game 4, I had a wedding this past Saturday in Rochester where one was a game 4? Game 4 or game 5?
Okay, I mean a big one.
No, like, not like...
Like a Buffalo sporting event is happening.
No, you know why? Because a lot of people get married in June and July, May too. Like, I'm thinking of June weddings for this, mostly though. And May. The Sabres don't play in those months.
They don't often.
In the years that I'm going to weddings, at least for like friends of mine and family. Have I been to a fall wedding maybe where there's been...
A Bills game?
Yeah, okay. Well, big. It's not... Definitely doesn't qualify as big, but when the Bills finished the season against New England a couple years ago, I had a wedding. Like that was on New Year's? That was on New Year's Day, I believe. Or New Year's Eve. Maybe New Year's Eve. But no, not like big. Like, not a playoff game for either side. I don't think so. What about you? Like, that's...
Two.
Okay.
I think of two weddings that I associate with sporting events.
Okay.
I think it's only two. There's a third one when I'm really young, but there's a baseball game
on. Isn't Sabres-Hurricanes one of them?
Yeah, Sabres-Flyers.
Sabres-Flyers.
Two weddings that I associate sporting events with. One is Sabres-Flyers game 1.
Right.
The Umberger hit happens, I'm at a wedding.
Yeah.
The Briere goal happens, the wedding is left and I'm still at the bar watching the game in Cape Cod.
Okay.
The other one is my now sister-in-law. My wife brought me to her twin sister's wedding, and we'd not been dating very long, and I was I got invited.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all great now. We're all family. We all got married. We all got married. Anyway, that was during the Triple Crown race at Belmont for whichever horse, American Pharoah?
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
American Pharoah. Was that 20, hold on, let me do the math, 2015?
Sounds about, okay. It's been 10 years?
Yeah.
Since that drought ended? Okay.
American Pharoah won the Triple Crown. Belmont would have been June 3rd, 2015. So, yeah. Those are my two sporting events during a wedding. And the thing that's different now is, so let's say the Sabres are in game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final, and you have a wedding now. Versus 1999.
Oh, it's way easier.
It's not just way easier.
Yeah.
You almost, if you're hosting the wedding, you have to say, we have a choice here. We can either put a game on in a room, or we can have people watch it on their phones. Because we can't stop it.
Yeah, you can't.
There's no way. Because for the Belmont,
people are going
at my table, and I saw American Pharoah win it on my phone.
Okay.
I'm not jumping up and shouting, but
But that makes sense as something that, like, we don't need to dedicate a screen at the wedding to the Belmont Stakes.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
But if the Sabres are in the Stanley Cup final,
you're going to have to. I think you have to do it now.
I think if you know there's going to be a good amount of sports fans at my wedding or just people that will care about this, maybe it's impossible. It depends on your venue, right? If it's an outdoor wedding, like, maybe some things, sometimes there's only so much you can do. But, like, I think you'd want them, you'd want an effort made to, like, hey, we're going to have this set up over here, you know, because we know. What do you want? You don't just want everybody staring at their phones all night, right?
No.
You don't want that.
No,
you
not at all.
If you can't stop it, would you rather have everybody kind of on their own looking at their own phones? No, or would you rather have them all together and, like, you know, hanging out and having a good time in front of one big
screen? You'd rather have it be
a
commute. Well, I guess it's to each their own, but wedding idea of the day. Would you rather have everybody watching on their phone or have a room dedicated to this is where you're going to go if you want to watch that game? The problem with that is, would everybody go in that room?
No, not everybody would.
No, that's right.
Enough people, and you would filter in and out. You know, maybe a lot of people would be back and forth. Not everybody's going to be like hardcore. Got to see every single second of the game. So, I think you'd be okay.
803-0550. We'll get some phone calls in here. 1-888-550-2550. Up next is Rob in Connecticut. Hey, Rob. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy. Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Josh, and good morning, Owen. First off, before I get to my thoughts on the 90s Bills, I truly believe that Owen can take on Derrick Henry. He's big enough, he's strong enough, and I would love to see it. So I think he could do it, Owen. Trust me. Anyways, you know, I love the fact that you brought that up, the 90s Bills. Going through that whole process of the four Super Bowls, first off, how many teams have ever made it to the Super Bowl four times in a row, which is always my comeback in an argument. The first Super Bowl against the Giants was probably the best or one of the greatest Super Bowls I ever got to witness, even though we lost because it came down to the wire to the end, and that was spectacular. As far as the Redskins game, I went in with expectations of winning it. And, of course, I was disappointed as a fan. I don't want to call it miserable. I hate the Dallas Cowboys, by the way. But the thing is, it's not – I don't feel miserable as a fan. It's more like passionate frustration. Of course, we all want to win. We want to see our team win. And then there was that gap. And I always said, we need another Jim Kelly. Then all of a sudden, Josh Allen comes along. And now I'm very hopeful – and I believe that there's going to be a time that we will win this. And when it does happen, it's going to be that much better for us as fans. So it's not miserable for me as a fan. The thing that I compare it to is, like, we can never get past Kansas City. It's always you get to the playoffs and you can't. You get to all these playoffs back to back to back, but you can't win it. But when we do win it, and we will win it with Josh Allen, I truly think that it's going to be something great. That Buffalo's going to go crazy nuts. And just believe. But for me, it was frustration. It's just a passionate fan frustration. So with that, guys, thank you for always making my mornings entertaining.
Thanks, Rob.
Love you guys.
Also worth mentioning, you know, as we're talking about this, the Oilers losing a second in a row. I saw Warren Sharp tweeting about the Bills losing four straight. Now, you know, no one knows that pain. Ryan Miller tweeted about it, saying, like, you know, ask Bills fans. They know this pain of losing back-to-back and that kind of thing. I might want to say this. It's been a long time. If you were to poll 100 random NFL fans, right? Let's play the feud.
Mm-hmm.
100 NFL fans. What is the identity of the Buffalo Bills franchise? What would the number one answer be?
Josh Allen.
Okay. What would number two answer be?
Bills Mafia and jumping through tables.
Right. That's what I thought.
Donating to charities of other teams. Like, right. It would be.
That's also on the board. Like, losing four Super Bowls would be number one in 1997.
Right.
I don't know that it's number one anymore.
No, I think, probably.
Thank you for mentioning the charity one. The charity one is a legitimate.
Yeah.
identifiable thing that this fan base does.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I thought tables.
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 Above four Super Bowls.
We did it.
Well, because really, like...
we did it. Well, all we had to do was jump through some tables and people forgot.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not totally forgot, but I'm glad you answered it that way because that's what I was thinking, is the identity is the fans are nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And passionate and,
mm-hmm.
you know, like...
Yeah, it might sound like to other people, would it be ancient history? How about the people, player, got people that are the age of the players in the league now. What is the four Super Bowls? It's like, it's maybe what I would treat the Vikings losing four Super Bowls right. as. They didn't do it in a row.
But they lost four, but would you ever, if you're listing the Vikings franchise identity, is that,
yeah,
is that
no, it doesn't,
five?
No. Like, I know it happened, but I don't think of it at all. Like, I'd have to work to get to what are the Vikings known for. Like, oh, well, they lost four Super Bowls, too. It just wasn't in a row. Like, that would be way down my list because it happened before I was born. And listen, like, even though that's a big gap, like a big difference, when did they even lose? In the 70s? The 60s and 70s I mean,
I'm
as opposed
older,
to the
I'm
90s?
I'm older than you, and I don't know.
Right, like, really?
I've never seen them lose a Super Bowl. I'm 45.
I think the point I kind of want to make here is everything before you were born is all kind of the same. Whether it happened 8 years before you were born or 30 years before you were born. It was all before you were born. It's all kind of the same. And you have a lot of fans now. I'm not even just saying Bills fans. I'm saying like other NFL fans that are 30 years old or older, 35, that don't remember four Super Bowls. So it might feel like, yeah, it's the same as Otto Graham.
Yeah, that happened. Here's some highlights. I watched a documentary.
Like, Chris Knobloch is the one that makes the comment that kind of sparks this from last season. Chris Knobloch's a 55-year-old man. You know what I mean?
Yep. He's 46.
I think it might be...
He's 46.
It might be just be a generational thing.
You just did to me with that girl at Wayland. Did.
Is
you
he
just
46?
Made him, he's about 55. He's 46. Chris Knobloch's about 55. 9 years.
I wouldn't say about 55 if he's...
He's 46.
He's got a little bit more gray going on up top, I think, than you do.
I wear a hat.
Right. Even still. I don't know. I don't think it comes up. I don't think it's a part of it. I don't think you will see if you polled 100 people, it's going to depend on the generation. You know? Football fan in their 50s, maybe it still is the first thing you think of. Anybody younger than that, I think it's probably not at the top of the list. So don't think it really is as big a deal.
Yeah.
In terms of the negative. It's not as big of a deal in terms of the negative as it used to be.
What is the thing I associate the Minnesota Vikings organization with?
Losing the horn.
Losing in the NFC Championship game to Atlanta with the best team I've ever seen.
In 98?
Yeah, they were 15-1.
Culpepper.
Gary Anderson missed a kick. Morton Anderson.
No, not Culpepper.
Morton, yeah. No, that's
Cunningham, right?
No, that's
a different Vikings
that's
team.
That's Culpepper.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
The 1998 Vikings were 15-1.
15-1.
They were an abs. Oh, you're right. It was Randall Cunningham.
It was Cunningham.
No, the 98. Oh, yeah, right. Okay, Cunningham.
They were very close back-to-back, and Culpepper had a year, too. I didn't remember. He was on the Madden cover, Culpepper. But was that 2001? It's not far after. And for me, like when I think Vikings, honestly, I think of Brett Favre throwing across his body in the NFC Championship. And I think of the Minneapolis Miracle. Think of Diggs, right?
Yep.
Because that is one of the craziest plays I've ever seen live in my life. I was watching that with friends, and it was like 10 seconds left on their own 40. And when everyone has the realization that he's still in bounds and that there's no one in front of him.
It's like Tyler Boyd.
Yeah.
It's like the same level.
So, like, those are – when I think of Vikings, I think of that Diggs play, and I think of Favre throwing across his body. I don't – what? Tarkenton losing in the Super Bowl? Not even close.
Yeah, right. 803-0550. Derek in South Carolina. Hey, Derek.
Hey, good morning, man. How you guys doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Yes, sir. I remember watching that game when Scott Norwood wouldn't miss that kick. And we had to come from like the 15 all the way down to the 30 or 27 or something like that. And it was like a 45-yard kick. But I'm just wondering if you guys would put the same thing in the Sam Bass or put it into Josh Allen's hands, you know, I mean, you know, are we going to go? Are we going to go for the field goal? Or are we going to try to put it in our hands, you know, for something else?
You're asking, would Josh have finished the job there?
Yes, sir. I'm just wondering if I know Marv Levy put it in Scott Norwood's hands back when we played the Giants. We could have won that game. I know it was cold. I know it was windy.
It was a kick to win.
I think it was one of the 45-yard kick.
It was a 47-yard kick, and it was a kick to win.
Yeah, I mean,
yes, sir. To win the Super Bowl. And yeah. I'm just wondering if you guys would put the same thing in the Sam Bass, you know.
Tyler Bass.
The alternative? The alternative is I have 8 seconds left. I'm going to throw a pass from the 29, or am I going to kick a field goal? Is that the question?
He's missed from 15.
Okay, but you're going to score a touchdown from 30 yards out?
Odds are probably no. I reckon not.
Yeah,
I reckon not. No, you're probably right. There.
Yeah, sorry, Derek. I don't see that as really a debate or a question. When you're going through that, I mean, you bring up Super Bowl 25, and what I did not know about the end of that game, I guess just watching it back, is, and this was probably common back then in the NFL, is how poor teams were at, like, clock management stuff.
Like, yes.
They had
Bills, did great. We came from like the 15 to like the, I don't know, like the 30 or 32 or something like that.
They got to the 29 eventually, but they had second and four with 48 seconds left on the 40-yard line. They ran two plays in 50 seconds.
That's unbelievable.
To line up a 47-yard field goal.
That's bad.
I remember watching it back like, what are they doing?
This is Pete Carroll.
Hustle. Like I'm watching it live. So if it's Alan there, maybe he knows.
It feels like thanks, Derek, for the phone call. Feels like your call was about Tyler Bass, which, all right, you want to do that? So
yeah,
the guy that did kick the kick, 40 to 49, his career percentage from 40 to 49 yards normally was 55%.
Okay.
This is a little bit of a testament to how kickers are way better now.
Yeah.
Kickers are so much better. You know what Tyler Bass's career from
it's definitely
40
higher.
To 49 is? 79%.
Yeah. Huge difference.
Huge difference.
Yep.
I guess the lesson is today.
Bass does miss to that side sometimes. He's got a little bit of
who cares
slice.
What side you miss to? He makes 79% from that distance.
No, I know.
And forget, you know. I'm going to make the Drake meme where he's like pushing something off and then, you know, that meme where you're, no, not that. That's what I want. No, not would Josh Allen have finished the job. Yes, would Tyler Bass have made the kick.
Yeah.
Whatever. The point of this segment was to talk about how that Super Bowl was no longer a defining characteristic of the organization. And here we are.
If that kick goes through, is there less anxiety about this team right now?
Yes, if that kick goes through,
because like even for me and you, like
we are a major metropolis with four sports teams, 10 championships, you know, 4 cups. Uh-huh. We all have our own flying jetpacks, and there's a beer tap in every room.
Right.
I don't know.
You know what I mean though? Like for me and you, it'd be different probably because you're not a Bills fan then, and I'm not alive yet, but. But even maybe for us, like there is an anxiety about whether they will win in this era. And if they had had one already, but it was 35 years ago.
Yeah.
I wonder how different it would feel.
Okay, so franchises to have won a Super Bowl, but it's further back than that.
Sure.
Because you could do it that way and say, how do these fans handle everything that happens? How do the
the Raiders.
Yeah.
Or who's good right now? Like, who should win right now? Has won, but it's been a long time.
The Dolphins.
Yeah, but no one's saying they should win a Super Bowl.
No, but the point is, like, do they get mad? Do they sit there and think, who cares that we won in the 70s? It's 2025.
Right, yeah.
Teams that have won.
Washington.
It's the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
It's
Washington's been 35 years.
The Raiders, yeah. Washington.
Right. Like, does them winning in 91 do anything for the 30-year-old fan who's going to want to, who's going to need to see them win a Super Bowl at some point with Jaden Daniels. Right, maybe it's not. Maybe, I don't know how different it is.
Yeah, it's, I guess
because it's not just for me. It's also knowing all like my dad and family members like that have been watching this team forever. If they had all had one, again, I think the feeling would be probably a little different.
What you're saying, this makes sense. Is if we're sitting here saying, hey, the loss is really there, it's down the board on what the franchise is identified by. You'd say the same if they had won one of them. Like when I say when I say to you, "Huh, tell me about the Washington franchise. What's their franchise identity?" You don't say like, "Oh, they won a Super Bowl in 1991." You say their owner was a mess. They changed their name. They have been embroiled in scandal for decades. They've been terrible.
Their stadium like leaks water from the upper deck.
They finally have a new quarterback. You know, like 1991 is not the thing that's top of mind for a Washington fan. So
sure.
Fun conversation. 803-0550 is our phone number. Jeremy and Joe, give us a ring if you'd like. A lot of responses to a thing I tweeted about the Sabres and unrestricted free agency. We talked about it a little bit earlier in the morning. Get that list back for you. If you're not on Twitter, haven't seen this, just maybe we are a miserable sports city once I read you this list. No, whatever. We'll have a little fun with some Sabres news or waiting for Sabres news coming up here on WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Drops it, Madonna, Yari Lehtinen, Brett Hull on this line for the Dallas Stars. Just by Hull, shot, Yari Lehtinen, Hull, loose puck, Hull, shot, score, the Dallas Stars, Brett Hull, they've won the Stanley Cup, deep in the heart of Texas, the Stars are shining.
The legendary Gary Thorne.
Mm-hmm.
Love Gary Thorne. You know, how many years ago? 2000?
26.
26 years ago. Oh, and how old are you?
-3.
All right. Well, you didn't get a chance to chime in at the time. Time for our senior goaltending correspondent, Owen Parker, to break down no goal. Let's do it. As a goalie.
Carter Courtney with a shot off the post. Parker got his pad back over to keep it out. Owen Parker shows off his flexibility.
Hey, as a goalie, should that guy have gotten that?
As a goalie.
As a goalie.
Brought to the blue line right in the middle. It's Matt Kaff now to the far boards. Again, cross-eyes pass. Open cage. Oh, Owen Parker with a glove save.
If you look at a game where you get 29 shots on goal against and give up 7 is not good.
Now it's time for As a Goalie with senior goaltending correspondent Owen Parker.
Yeah, no goal. What'd you see on the play?
A foot in the crease. I mean, I have nightmares about this despite even still being -3 years old, aka not even thought of yet.
I like to say this every year on this day. Don't we all, at least now, that was the rule. That was a bad rule.
Yes.
It's a dumb rule.
It's a stupid rule.
It's a very dumb rule.
It
was a rule. That's not the debate, blah, blah, blah. But thank goodness that's no longer a rule. Can you imagine they took goals off the board for that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's heartbreaking.
Can I make one defense of it? I don't like it.
You could say it's much more cut and dry than the guy hit the goalie because nobody seems to know what goaltender interference is.
It'd be so much less subjective.
I got a lot of respect for that point. Goaltending interference in the NHL now is such a nightmare to think about every single time. I've tried over the past, I don't know, 3 years since it's been a story to like deeply analyze every single goaltender interference challenge I see. And I am wrong 70% of the time, probably. I never know what they're doing. Because like you said, there's no cut and dry, can do this, can't do this, can do this, can't do this. It's just, oh, it wasn't that significant a contact right before the puck went in. That's good. Or then you also get, oh, he touched him 4 minutes ago, and we're not going to count it now.
Right.
It's just ridiculous.
The rule I'm reading right now, the rule at the time was a player couldn't score with his skate in the crease. But they ruled the goal valid because Hall maintained possession of the puck as it left the crease.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Possession is another one of these gray areas.
It was just explaining away
a giant mistake.
That a double overtime Stanley Cup winning goal shouldn't have counted. And that they let it go. They don't want to be embarrassed by it.
You know, you say you wake up and you have nightmares about that goal. Do you think Gene Steratore also does? Mm. He wasn't asked his opinion.
No, he wasn't. I mean, he would have been in his glory, though.
Let's go to, NHL rules guy? Dave Jackson?
Yeah.
Let's go to Dave Jackson. Every time they go to him, he's like, maybe.
Yeah. I love how often the announcers get it wrong, too. They're like, they're so confident sometimes, too. They think so with so much gusto. Oh, this is not going to count. This shouldn't count. Ref comes out. We got a good goal.
Yep.
All right.
I've never watched Hasek on the play. He's just doing his normal thing, though, right?
Yeah.
Like he's on his belly, and he's reaching out to kind of slap it away, and then after he doesn't do that, what does he do? He's sprawled out in a way that he often would make saves, right?
Yep.
So he's fully along the ice.
Yeah.
So I don't even know if I can ask you, because who evaluates Hasek?
If I was doing this in the 90s when Hasek was around, you'd ask me as a goalie, what do you think on this? And I go, I have no idea.
It's his own unique technique.
He's such an anomaly. I love watching old clips of him because it's just it's a different sport he was playing in there. Totally different sport.
26 years ago today.
Greatest to ever do it.
Dallas.
Ugh.
Yep. All right. What else?
Are you watching that game live? You're not here yet?
I'm not here. I'm in college. No. I am not watching it live. I fell asleep.
I've had confirmation from my family that I was with my grandparents watching that game at 4 years old right to the very end. I don't remember it, but I believe them that I was watching it. So.
All right. No memory?
Say that. No, no memory at all. Nothing. It's probably good. Probably for the best.
Yep. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe, it's Thursday. Tomorrow's Friday. That's how it goes normally. That's the order
of
the days.
Yes, it's generally.
Sorry, it's off the air. We didn't get it on the air. There's a bear?
There's a bear that was spotted this morning in South Buffalo somewhere.
We had an Amherst bear once.
Yeah.
At least once. We got a South Buffalo bear.
Could this be the same bear?
I mean, maybe.
Is it possible?
Is he on his way to Amherst?
How many bears are there?
From the southern tier, probably, right? He's lost. He's made it all the way up. He's trying to get back to Amherst. He's like, yeah, like 5 years ago, I was going somewhere.
Yeah.
The South Buffalo Bear?
Unless he heard there were some good wings up there, and that's why he was there. There's a South Buffalo Bear. How many bears would there be in, like, Erie County?
One? No, the county's big.
No, more than that.
How many bears in Erie County?
How many bears are there in Erie County?
Probably only if they come into Erie County, now that I think about it. Because like
Erie County, you don't think they're native to Erie County?
No, Erie County ends like near where I grew up, and there was never any bears down there. They're all like near like Allegheny, down near the PA line, like in Ellicottville and like further down from that.
Okay.
New York Black Bear Harvest Summary. I'm deep in this now.
Wow.
Yeah. These are people hunting bears.
Oh, okay. That's legal?
In some places, I suppose, yeah.
Okay. Well, this bear was just going for a stroll. He was on the sidewalk on the ring video that I saw from this morning.
How many?
I've not seen any sightings in like a couple hours, though, I believe.
We did this once with foxes where we're talking about like what? How many different animals are like you see like, oh, that's a bear.
Right, like
fox is easy because fox is orange. We saw a fox.
And the tails.
We saw a fox the other day. I was driving out to Tri-County. Saw a fox. Like, that's a fox.
That's a fox.
I think you would have to triple take it a bear. Because you would think,
is that
a dog? What is that?
A bear?
Yes, a black bear looks like a dog.
The picture of this black bear
pretty
is
big.
Pretty big. No, but that bear,
depends
it's
time,
a small bear.
It depends time of year.
But what's a small bear? The size of a Great Dane? Is there one breed of dog that would graduate to that size?
I mean, depending on the height, maybe like a German Shepherd.
Like I'm not talking a 700-pound grizzly. I'm talking a 200-pound.
They go between, bears go between 130 and 500 pounds.
Black
bears. Okay.
So what's a large breed dog? It'd probably get up to like 200, a really large breed dog.
A really large dog would be like, yeah, like 150, 170.
Sure. Welcome to our new segment.
I think I would know it's a bear right away.
Our new segment, dog or bear?
A Bernese Mountain Dog gets anywhere between 70 and 95 pounds.
That's not that big. That's below bear threshold.
That's not that big. Bernese Mountain
Dogs are big.
That's not that big of a breed. No, it's not. You're thinking of a different dog.
You're not even.
Well, there's also St. Bernards, but.
But that one's not even, that's not even 50% or 40% within the size
bull
of a bear.
Bull Mastiffs go up to 130.
That's what you want. That's what you want.
English Mastiffs.
Great Danes, Mastiff mixes.
I grew up with a Bull Mastiff and then an English Mastiff. It was like 150 and 170 pounds.
English Mastiff, I've got that up to 240.
Yeah.
There you go.
Our English Mastiff is a big dog.
Isn't the bear the only animal around here that would get spotted and make the news?
I think
you're right about the foxes, but I'm not reading a news story today like fox spotted in Elma.
No, that's right. Coyotes don't make the news because they just kind of go away. When it's a bear,
unless they're in the city, though. Coyotes like in
I've seen a coyote in North Buffalo for sure.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like if there was a wolf
on my way to work, I've seen a coyote.
Like downtown, I'm saying.
Yeah, right.
I mean, make the news. If there was a wolf somewhere around town, like that would make the news.
Albino deer makes the news. There's an albino deer.
Okay.
And what else makes the news? I mean, presumably, if there was
a mountain lion,
a giraffe in South Buffalo, it would make the news. Presumably.
Yes.
Whoa. Look, we got a giraffe.
Where did that come from? Check the zoo.
That's a weird looking dog.
Yeah, imagine that. It's mostly bear, though, I think.
Yeah. How many bears in Erie
like,
County?
Again, like none of these, I've never heard of like an elk finding its way into
Elk are native to southern or northern PA.
Okay.
Do they ever venture up here? In northern PA.
I don't know, ever hear about them venturing up here, though. Mountain lions, I think, once in a while. And that's about it.
Has there ever been an elk spotted in Buffalo?
I'm going to bet no.
Most of these searches are taking me to Elk Street and a different Buffalo.
Yeah.
All right. We'll get to Extendo Sports, 803-0550. Are we going to breathlessly follow the bear story? I'll do it. I'm into it. I mean, it's the off season. It's peak bear following season if we want to do it. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Tomorrow on the show, we might have to get Josh as a bear guy.
He used to be a bear guy.
Oh, retired
bear
guy.
He's retired now.
I'm out of the game.
Resident bear guy.
No more. The Amherst bear tweeted, it wasn't me. So there's a bear in South Buffalo.
Yeah, this guy I know, he used to do a lot of bear studies and things like that. Taught me everything I know about bears, so I can do my best to fill in. But yeah, it was pretty cool. Like he had a lot of just great bear stories from over the years. He used to just basically, if they got to South Buffalo, take them out of South Buffalo and then relocate them to where they're supposed to be. It's pretty cool.
Do you know the rule on black bear versus brown bear?
If it's brown, lay down. If it's black, fight back?
Yep.
Okay. I couldn't remember the...
That is right.
I know there was like a thing, but I couldn't remember it.
This is where I'll tell the story, the quick little note that's my favorite thing to tell from my trip to Alaska, which is went for a hike around some glacier. I forget which glacier it was. I apologize. There's a lot of them. Anyway, went for a hike in a glacier, and there was a sign at the park on going in, and it said that, like, if it's black, fight back. If it's brown, lay down. And then there was a line below that from the park that said, if it starts to eat you, fight back.
Ooh. That's usually a good rule of thumb,
right.
Probably.
Fun to read
so,
that sign.
So, lay down. But once you're being eaten by a bear, permission granted, go fight.
What do you do if it says you got to keep laying down?
That's going to take some willpower.
Yeah.
That's going to be tough.
I had a buddy that was playing junior up in Alaska in Anchorage. And the bigger problem up there is the moose.
Yeah, they'll just walk through town.
The moose are crazy up there. He would send me a video like every day of like an 800-pound moose.
Yep.
Like in his driveway. And it was like, if there was a moose out there, you can't go near it because it'll just walk over you. And yep. Like, that's it.
You guys ever see the videos of people feeding a moose out like their back door? Like they just, that it sounds- walks up.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
And they feed it like an apple, and then it walks away.
Mm. I'd be so scared.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
They're
I just wouldn't
so
open the door.
Big, dude.
They're huge.
It's mind-boggling. Ugh.
All right, so free agency approaches for the Sabres and for other teams in the NHL. We had this stat earlier in the day, just to kind of like maybe make it on the bet board, over under on term they're willing to give out. Will they give out 2.5 years? More or less than 2.5 years in free agency. They've only done it with Kevin Adams once. Connor Clifton got 3. Nobody else in his 5 off seasons has gotten more than 2 years in unrestricted free agency. The most they've ever offered in a multi-year deal at that time, because Taylor Hall got 1 year, 8. The most they've offered in a multi-year deal is also Connor Clifton, like 3.3. They have signed 6 players to multi-year deals in the Kevin Adams era of unrestricted free agency. Now, you might want to say, like, hey, free agency isn't the spot to do it. That might be right. But it's just, these are facts. The 6 players they've signed to multi-year deals as free agents. Jason Zucker, 1-year deal. They re-signed him. You know, maybe you want to say that that's a good story, and that would be right. Connor Clifton, Ilya Labushkin, Eric Comrie, Cody Eakin, Sam Lafferty, Josh Dunn. That is free agency for the Sabres the last 5 years. And we had somebody responding on Twitter about how no one wants to play here. What would you expect? Part of the point has to be, if you're the GM of the Sabres, I know it's definitely tough. Like, you have a bit of a catch-22 where no one wants to come here, so you can't get players, and you can't get players, so no one wants to come here. But if 22% of the league has no trade clauses and can say no to you, well, those players are off the table. Now I've got to go to the players that are free agents. They might be inclined to say no. I might have to pay a tax. I might have to pay an additional year of term. I might have to pay an additional $1 million per year or two. When they signed Zucker, there was a belief that that was a little bit of an overpay. And he stayed on a 2-year deal, and his AAV for the next 2 years is lower.
Yeah.
So he signed for 1 year for 5, and then he re-signed for 4.75, I think is what it was.
Yeah.
So think about that for a second. You overpaid to get a guy, and you thought, like, this isn't so bad. I'll sign, and it's only, you know, $250,000 less. But the point is, if you are not playing in an even playing field, you probably have to pay a tax. You probably have to pay more in term, in AAV. And if you're not doing that, then you probably aren't competing in free agency. So we'll see if this is a year they're able to, willing to, and able to. Those are two different things. You know, we don't always get to see how willing they are because – a guy has to say yes, and those are the 6 that have said yes to multi-year deals in these last 5 off seasons. So there you go. That was the Sabres chatter for you. Coming up at the top of the hour, it's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brayton Wilson popping in right on cue. His time of year here, it's draft season, so if you want to dig deep into the NHL draft, like, Brayton might be able to help you there. He's constantly up to date on what's going on in the NHL draft. He'll have Paul Hamilton. He'll have Rob Ray. He'll have Mike Morial in the next couple days. So Brayton's taking control as we get closer and closer to the NHL draft, which is a week from Friday. It's the 27th, right? 27th, that's right. I'll be off on Friday, recovering from my 100 holes. But we have the Ride for Roswell kickoff party. We'll be at that. So busy week next week, just the same. So the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show is on the way. We're back tomorrow morning here on WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.